Monument Valley, Post 440. A few days in Monument Valley is not enough time to separate what the eye sees from what the movie eye remembers. One would have to be Navajo, or a white man like Harry Goulding, who drove sheep here before World War I, and on his return bought 640 acres, a square mile, for $340, the only white man to own land in 1.7 million acres of the Navajo Rez. He saw this land when it was the most isolated spot in the continental United States, 180 miles from a railhead, a full 24-hour journey to and from the nearest town of Bluff, Utah. He and his wife learned the language and built a trading post whose upstairs porch looks out over 30 miles of high desert and the most iconic formations in American culture. In 1938, John Ford shot Stagecoach here, and this dot on the map filled the American public's idea of what the American West looked like and how its conflicts between white and red might have played out. Ford and Wayne created the myth that now both completes and obscures how we make sense of all this. There are moments when the deeper reality breaks through. At the base of one of the buttes, the cliff face to a height of about 10 feet carries petroglyphs of six bighorn sheep, and beneath it, guarded by a flimsy 4-foot-high chicken wire fence, Anasazi pottery shards with circles of blue, about 700 years old, untouched, for the Navajo believed to take them home would be to carry death into the house. Circling the buttes are small homes, a few with solar panels, each with a hogan 9 logs high, mud encased with a central hole for the wood burner, its entrance always built due east to accept first light. Cattle dogs and horses wander without fences. The homes have no running water. Their pickup trucks are loaded with 1,000-gallon tanks they fill up at Goulding's. One woman I spoke to, a jeweler, a speaker still of the old tongue, said the last 5 years have been drier, the sand dunes incrementally higher. Her grandfather said that when he was a boy there was more vegetation, and the washes would often rise up with water for their sheep and horses. A weaver uses a straight-up loom, and at one time had taken her colors from yellow sweet cloves, blackberries, sumac leaves, and scarlet bugler. She still keeps the design in her head and measures proportion by counting knots. At West Mitten, Navajos selling jewelry wore bandanas to cover their mouths from the blowing red dust. An American flag folded a photo of Geronimo, a Chiricahua Apache, into the center of the stripes. For $5, you could take a photo of a boy in a red shirt posing on his horse on an outcropping set against the vista. The horse turns round on that narrow rock like a pro. A young man in a Mormon eye t-shirt that said in huge letters, "Only God can judge me," carried wares from their pickup to the table. Lots of young Navajo men drive muscle cars, Mustangs especially, and on these straight roads they move like land rockets. On the drive-in, for miles and miles, the passenger side verge was littered with thousands and thousands of beer and liquor bottles smashed. No alcohol is available on the rez. Each year, fewer and fewer of the young keep up with the language. But in the deep backcountry, there are some who speak only the original tongue, who live only in hogans, and who keep to the old ways as best they can. The Monument Valley School District system has 400 students, K-12, and some still walk from their homes each day, taking shortcuts up and down some of the buttes, scrambling up rock faces, as their parents and grandparents did before them. We toured the backcountry with a Navajo guide, Anna, who claims over 500 in her extended family, and who spoke of traditional gatherings to celebrate a baby's first giggles, so that the child will grow up to be happy and generous. She had her tourist pat her down. She directed our gaze to rocks shaped like Snoopy an Elvis, a cat, a chair, a big hand. But when pressed, she told us about rain god Mesa, where in the old times a shaman was lifted to its top by a cloud. He spent days dancing until his prayers were granted and rain fell until the washes were full and the people's needs were met. And then the clouds would gently bring him back to the green earth. A John Wayne movie is shown each night at Goulding's. Fort Apache, She Wore a Yellow Ribbon, The Searchers, etc. All of them shot here, every night. The Indians in the movies are Cheyenne or Comanche or Sioux, but Navajos earned good money in those days as extras. They did not care who they were supposed to be. A stoic, quiet Navajo man runs the projector for the French, German, Chinese, and American tourists who lean forward to look at Wayne, severely arranged, posed, his face grown unforgettable against this most American of panoramas.